Blog Talk Radio.
To get to know you better. See you kinda busy, so I guess I'll send a letter. If the letter don't work, then I guess I'll approach it. If you can't socialize, I guess I'll coach you. Cause gymming is far from the average knucklehead. I don't wanna spend most of my time in bed, but in case I have to get hard, I get hard like lead. And the proof is in the pudding, that's what my mom said.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did,
I
just wanna be. I just wanna be. Girl, I just wanna be.
G-Man ain't no great thing.
I just wanna be.
No matter what state, I put you in good hands just like all state. I'm winding down, we eating our fine plate. I treat you like a superstar, line with no weight. You like good time, let's just push rewind. Sipping good wine, my game not denied. We live in the sky, the haters live on the ground. No sex rules up in the clouds, ow.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did,
crib, yeah, get nasty. I'm a cowboy, you a big girl. Take a round trip, just a rocket world. Like shake, wobble, wobble, shake, shake, know your mama. Don't need a bag, shopping sprees, the Bahamas. Roll with a king, it don't cost you a dollar. Get that candy, watch it bust, pinata.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did,
you go, we always together. In the third semester like the nutty professor. I know you kinda shy, I'll be the aggressor. Power couple pimps and get the most, not the lesser. Cap, you say you like my delivery. Cold ass pimp and I still got chivalry. Cap pillar, the thrill in Manila. Silverback gorilla, still put it in your liver, girl.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did,
for God's blood.
Tell him about it, man.
Oh, the blood that saved me, the blood that raised me, the blood that healed me.
Yes. Listen.
Thank you for the blood.
The blood.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today is an interview with Dr. Marcus Wells. Dr. Marcus Wells is a professor at Emory in Atlanta, Georgia, Emory University. How are you doing this afternoon,
Hello.
Dr. Wells?
Very good, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and join you and your listening audience.
Thank you. So you are a professor, if I'm not mistaken, at Emory University in Atlanta?
Well, I do hold degrees from Emory University, specifically from the School of Public Health, but I've taught in schools internationally, particularly in the Caribbean, in medical schools. So that's pretty much my academic record.
What type of medicine do you practice?
Well, Yes, ma'am. Internal medicine is my specific field that I trained, but I branched out after being at the National Institutes of Health to several different areas, particularly research in heart, lung, and blood medicine. And then I branched out further into what's called bariatric or metabolic medicine, using techniques, both medically and non-medical, to enhance metabolism. So various different forms of medicine.
Okay. All right. So you wrote a book.
Yes.
Called the Theocrine Codex.
Yes.
The Hidden Message to the Blue Planet. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
I'm very interested in this book. In this book, you write that computers could take over.
Yeah. I talk about the very realistic existentialistic technology in general, that if we're not very careful, we may have a potential problem on our hands. You may have heard of Elon Musk talking about this issue, and he mentions that several times, that if we do not get a handle on this potential crisis, we may be in trouble. And going back, I also looked at this, surveyed it from the standpoint as a scientist. As I said, I was at the National Institutes of Health during the time that the Human Genome Project was being undertaken. Every gene on the human DNA molecule has been mapped out. So we know particularly everything that there is on the human DNA. We can manipulate the DNA molecule, and we can also treat it or manipulate it in a sense that we can cut and splice the gene at several different points. We can do that because we've mapped out all of the different chromosomes, the 47 different pair of chromosomes on the human genome, so that essentially this is something that can easily be done. We have the ability to clone as well, potentially clone different organs, but we may be able to clone the entire human organism as well. And there's a new trend today called transhumanism, where we can merge technologies such as the microchip, medical devices, with the human organism. So these are all trends that are ongoing, that are on the drawing board, and there is somewhat of a push to explore those things.
All right. So you talk about robotics, quantum computerization, and PCR have led to gene splicing, gene therapy, cloning, nanotechnology, ultimately transhumanism. What is this? Transhumanism.
Yes. Well, the father of transhumanism is Ray Kurzweil, who's a physician himself, a medical doctor, cardiologist, who has basically been the pioneer for human beings becoming more bionic, if you would, that is becoming more a part of technology to enhance our abilities. Say, example, if a person wanted to have better eyesight, perhaps they would have a disc or a microchip put around the cornea to enhance their ability for vision. The same thing with the middle ear to enhance their hearing. All of these things, if you would, to become a Superman or Superwoman is potential. You would be able to put a device on any part of your body if you wanted to, and essentially you would be enhanced. The same thing goes for the potential of immortality, that is being able to clone any part and reproduce it over and over again, including the entire human organism. The whole trend of transhumanism goes to the point of taking your personality and your memories from your brain and your consciousness from your brain and downloading it on a microchip. The microchip then could be stored once your physical body ages or succumbs. There would be a cloned body, or a sleeve as it's called, that the disc or microchip could be downloaded into your new body or into your new sleeve. In essence, that's immortality. This is where science and technology is marching to. So we're looking at a very wondrous time period, but at the same time, we don't know what the results of this could be in this century.
So the Theochron Codex is a critical look into society's adaptation to a probable new world with new ethics and possibly even a new humanity. That's amazing.
It is very amazing. As you might know, there was a robot, a very, very intelligent robot that was created in the last 5 or 6 years. This robot can carry on a conversation with human beings. Its ability to do massive quantification, its knowledge base, its ability to almost have a conscience is there. And because of that, it was awarded, it was given citizenry. It's become a citizen in Saudi Arabia. And these types of robots are becoming more and more prevalent. We're using robots to perform intricate surgery through a robotic arm as well. There's a company called Boston Scientific that is creating robotic dogs. What they are four-legged and even two-legged robots that can run 30, 40 miles an hour. They can chase down a human being. They're very intelligent, and police are now using these for the first time in New York to patrol. So we're beginning to see the RoboCop and RoboDog being utilized. We're seeing other technology where electromagnetic types of weaponry, if you would, can be used to quiet a riot or a mass of people. It can be used to also shoot out electromagnetic, if you would, have effects on auditory senses so that you would hear things. So all of these things, the HAARP, H-A-A-R-P technologies, electromagnetic energy that can be shot out so that you would be perceiving them through various different senses. These types of technologies, if there's not some type of ethics written and legal bioethic, we'll be in trouble potentially.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and you kind of like warning people with this book.
It's a warning that we mustn't forget where we came from. And if we do not learn from our past, we're doomed to repeat some of the things, the errors that we've done, made in the past, particularly when it comes to war, or when it's come to different forms of Holocaust. These things must be looked at ahead of time. The return to traditional values in our society mustn't be overlooked.
Oh, wow. This is something very serious. Robots are policing. Well, in a way, that might be a good thing. I mean, without killing by police officers.
There's a duality to this. I mean, it is good in the right hands. It's good with those who have good intentions. It is good when it benefits humanity. But at the same time, if you have a dictator or a group that abuses their power, this potentially could be a form of dystopian slavery, if you would. So we have to be careful.
Okay. I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
So you talk about gene splice and gene therapy.
Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit more about it?
Well, gene therapy was created to look at taking out, cutting out, taking out different mutations in a gene. It could be done, for example, for a child who might have been discovered to have a genetic defect. You could go in and cut out, if you would, that mutation and repair it. Gene therapy can be used with a virus to cut out certain parts of a person's DNA. We're doing that right now with the vaccine, the COVID vaccine. There's a technique called CRISPR, which acts like scissors and cuts or splices a portion of a person's DNA and replaces it. Now, the ethical question today and scientific is, does that change a person's DNA? Does that change the human being? Does that make the human being something else? And also there's another question is, if you change DNA by a method that is owned, does that change in the DNA and the human being make that human being a product, a byproduct? We're talking about ownership and rights. So these are all things that are ethical and legal questions that are going to have to be answered.
You mean with the coronavirus vaccinations?
Yes, the technique that is being used with the coronavirus is a splice, if you would, that the messenger RNA is being introduced under a fat envelope, a lipid envelope, to kind of confuse the human cell. And once it's introduced into the human cell, then the spike protein can be created through the organism's own cell's DNA. You would produce that spike protein. The theory is that by producing spike protein, you're creating immunity. But the opposite may be occurring, which is you're making the very agent that causes COVID problems, COVID virus problems, which is the spike protein. So there's some gray area here that needs to be fine-tuned.
Okay. I had the vaccination. I got both shots in April.
Yes.
So now I'm kind of concerned. A lot of people won't take the vaccination. I'm starting to understand why.
Yes. The vaccine, theoretically, is something that is supposed to create immunity. What the studies are showing is that 90% of people who get COVID create their own immunity, their own antibody to it. So that is an issue of itself. There have been cases of myocarditis and a inflammatory syndrome in pediatric cases for those who take the COVID vaccine, as well as neurological problems that have been recorded, along with excessive bleeding and blood clots. Guillain-Barré, which is a form of paralysis, has also been seen. Not saying that everyone gets this and everyone potentially could, but there are probably going to be those who are sensitive enough that that might happen. There is
COVID-19 vaccination. That's what we're talking about, correct?
Yes, correct.
Paralyzation. That's been seen. That's happened.
There's been studies to indicate that some women have had sterility issues. That is correct.
Paralysis.
Yes.
Fertility or paralysis?
Both.
My goodness. Okay. So what makes this vaccine different from all the other vaccines, the pneumonia vaccine, the flu vaccine? What makes this one, the hepatitis C vaccine, what makes this so different?
This is the first time in human history that messenger RNA has been used as the vaccine itself. And those who are at the Louis Pasteur Institute of Medicine in France, Dr. Montagnier, who's a Nobel laureate, says that this does not define it as a vaccine. It's a device that doesn't meet the criteria of what you and I would call classically and traditionally a vaccine. It's a device. And the device can be used for good or maybe not. So that's something that bioethicists and scientists have looked at. This is the first time ever this type of tool, device, has ever been used. So there may not have been enough study behind it, and that's why it's been used under the umbrage as an emergency. Usually a vaccine takes anywhere from 2, 3, 4 to 10 years scientific development that is adequate enough and safe enough to be given to the general public because you have enough data about it. This, we almost have nothing before it was put out.
So it involves the genes. This vaccination does.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
All right, so what is your opinion, your personal opinion about the vaccine?
Well, theoretically, I think it's a great concept to serve humanity. I think the utilitarian approach is pragmatic to serve humanity, to do the best we can for the most that we can help from this potential disaster that could wipe out humanity or certainly reduce the population with this virus. The question is the technique and tool that has been utilized to stop the transmission of the virus, which, as we've been told by the premier authority on the vaccine, which is Dr. Tony Fauci, that you still have to mask up even though you have taken the vaccine, both doses, and a third booster may need to be taken as well. The other thing is that the coronavirus is a family. It's not just one or two mutations or variants. There may be hundreds. And the CEO of Pfizer has spoken and said that the vaccine could create a even more resilient and more resistant type of virus. So it's not just the Delta Lambda variant. And as you know, there have been variants in South Africa. There's been variants in Brazil. There's been variants in India. We've had at least one or two variants here, including the Lambda variant here, and the, of course, the notorious Delta variant, which we believed had come out of England. So we might see a myriad of these things. The common flu is a coronavirus itself. And what makes the coronavirus 19 so novel is that something that was what we would consider a common, typical virus, you know, a novel virus, it has somehow, it even appears to be, the word has been in quotations, weaponized. This is actually, if you were to wipe out a population, if you were, let's say, Kim Jong-un, this would be a great tool to be utilized for warfare. So there's a lot of controversy
because of the short amount of time to put this vaccine package together. So the bioethicists as well as scientists need to continue tight review of its effect.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So do you think this virus, the coronavirus, COVID-19, the Delta variant, and is there a third one that you know
yes.
of?
Yes.
There's a
others.
Third variant.
Yes. There are several of them. The one that may be emerging is the Lambda variant, L-A-M-B-D-A. The Lambda variant might be on the rise, but there might be 10 or 20 more variants or mutations that might even occur. And this is a very realistic concern.
All right. So you gave out a lot of information. I'm just curious about something. Have you taken the COVID-19 vaccination?
Well, here's the thing. Under the HIPAA law and under rights of privacy, a person can be asked, but we're protected not to have to give an answer. And that's the beauty about the United States Constitution, is that we as individuals are protected. And I think that while we're still in a country that we're protected, I think we should exercise our constitutional rights to the maximum.
Not the
answer. You know.
Not the answer. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Employees, for example, can be asked, but they do not necessarily have to give the answer per se. And it's important to know that some people have used exemptions based on religion, exemptions based on their philosophy as well. We need to be very careful because we may be walking down a very slippery slope where we are exposing people based on their vaccine status, that we might unintentionally practice discrimination against those who have not been vaccinated. This could create the dissolution of this country. Are we going to have the mass roundup of people? Are we going to have mass incarceration of people who don't take the vaccine? Are we going to make those people not capable of buying, selling, and trading, not being able to go to baseball games, football games, to clubs, to restaurants, being able to go to the store to buy products on your vaccine status, that you have to have a passport to go down the street or across the state. These are all real issues that have to be addressed now before there's a major breakdown of the system or the society.
I'm sorry about the noise.
That's
quite
right.
Yeah. So I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm running out of time. I'd like to have you back.
Yeah, I would love to come back and discuss more about the Theocron, the final message, the hidden message to humanity, because the book looks at every 6,000 years, it looks like that humankind destroys itself, that we do something, particularly through the greatest hubris, which is our arrogance.
One question. Sorry to interrupt you. Do
yeah.
you believe, some people are saying, not open, but they believe that the virus, HIV, people are saying that they believe the virus is man-made. Do you believe that? And your personal
I've read opinion. And seen, I've read and seen some viewpoints about it, because one of the ingredients in the vaccine is a portion of the retrovirus or HIV virus. How that got in there, we don't know. I don't know because I'm not a virologist. So we need to look at all of the ingredients in the vaccine.
Hello?
And can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello?